Ours is to check if there's anything that we don't agree with, and let us refrain so that it must be looked into.
That's a suggestion that we must really check this. Honorable Chair, is there
anything? Thank you, Chair. If I remember correctly, Chair, I'm also of the view that this issue was discussed in a meeting. Now to remove it totally, it will be something as if we never discussed it. I am of the view that it must remain there. If it needs to be checked, but I don't see anything wrong with how it is put there, because it was properly discussed in the meeting.
Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Kappa, you were the last one there, this one.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe the last result would be that one of the secretariat will check. But which tells us then, therefore, that these means will be adopted pending the correction, if there is, because if there is anything that changes on the basis of that, well, at the moment we believe that it's correct, and others believe it's not. Therefore, maybe that is the only solution, which leave it like that.
Thanks, honourable members. Honourable Stein was saying, if this is indeed what was discussed, she doesn't have a problem, but she does not remember, because also, as government officially, we have not taken policy stance on without compensation, expropriation without compensation. Now, based on the views that have been shared by members, we defer in this minutes of the 3rd of July until we get confirmation, and then it will be adopted in our next meeting. Secretariat, go and check for us if this indeed was what was said in the meeting of the 3rd of July. Thanks, honourable members.
Are we sure then that that will be the main reason that we think, because government has not taken this route? Because I'm worried if it's because of that, or it is because it was not, it is reported in this way. And I would like it to be based on that argument.
Honorable Kappa, I was just refreshing members, how are we getting to this point? Honorable Stein says, if it is indeed what was said, she does not have problem. She was just highlighting it to say she does not remember if it was said. And also, she was just basing her argument on that one. Let's check if it's there in the minutes, if it was there on the recording. If it's there, she does not have issues if indeed it was discussed like that. She was just saying her opinion on that one. Can we continue, honorable members? Consideration and adoption of the draft report on budget 24. The report has been circulated to members yesterday, early afternoon. And at this point, I will request the content advisor to assist us, take us through on the issues of the summary of the findings and the recommendations. We start with the department and we'll go to entities. Agriculture first, the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. We are dealing with Vote 24, Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The summary of key observations are on page 26 of the draft report that was circulated to members. It is hoped that members have read through the report. The greater part of the report also summarizes what has happened, including the presentations that were made by the department in line with the budget that is allocated to each program of the department, including the entities. So from the discussions that our members have, what we'll be going through is the summary of the observations that were made by members on the presentations that were made on that day. The first one of the issues that was raised by the members on the annual performance plan of the department was the nature of the performance indicators and targets that the department has set for itself for some of the programs. The targets were not smart. I think in this regard, the members complained about the department having targets such as reports instead of the actual activity that they will be going through. And so the committee felt that they didn't make an effort to ensure that their targets are specific and measurable and reliable. I can just mention that this is an ongoing challenge that has also been made by the Auditor General in previous plans of the department. In this case, we did make an example on Program 1, the Sector Research Agenda Monitored. That's an indicator. It is also a target. That's how it's set up for the medium term. On Program 4, they have the International Relations Strategy. They have a number of targets here, but one of those is a status report on compliance to AU and SADC obligations. In this case, it would have been expected that they specify the actual obligations and also what those obligations are. The previous committee has asked for the department to do to ensure that the committee can track resource use and allocation with targets is to link the budget to the targets, but what is in the AS annual performance plan is they have linked the budget to programs and sub-programs, not to targets, they say. The challenge with the committee was that where in instances where the department hasn't met certain targets, they do not report on what happens to the budget that was allocated to do those targets. That's the first observation. The next one is the capacity to develop. Members will notice, even from the APP, because it covers a period of 4 years, prior to the current medium term. It takes the department at least 3 to 5 years to develop a policy. And then it takes another longer period to fully implement that policy. So in this case, there's uncertainty about the capacity within a department. One example, also that's in terms of legislation, one example is the preservation and development of agricultural land. That's an MTSF target, and it's the legislation that is supposed to address loss of agricultural land to mining, for example, or urban development. After 3 years of the legislation being developed, it was subsequently referred to a private firm to draft it last year. So this might point to issues of capacity within the department in terms of policy or legislative development. Another issue was conditional grants. Conditional grants are primarily focused on agricultural activities, which mainly primary agriculture, which is production activities, besides infrastructure or the support that goes with those. And there was a view that conditional grants should also be focusing on agro-processing, for example, or even agritourism. But those other issues haven't been explored in terms of funding requirements for conditional grants, and members will recall that agro-processing is has been identified also in the NDP as a key job driver for the sector. And this is not withstanding in terms of agro-processing, the training of entrepreneurs, which will be done through Program 4 of the department. But other than training, there are no other funding requirements or support through conditional grants for agro-processing. Another observation is absence of a monitoring and evaluation framework. I just need to note to let members know that some of these issues are legacy issues. They are continuing issues. MNE has always been a challenge in the department that has also been raised by the previous committee. And it's even more important in this case because more than half of the department's budget is transferred.
If we could just, I can we discuss these matters. Just go into those matters in brief, like we have circulated the report and coming from the APP and engagement with the department, so that we have enough time on our recommendations.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So more than half of the department's budget is transferred, which makes monitoring and evaluating of the use of that budget quite important. The next one is the commercialization of black producers, which goes with a blended finance model. This will be administered by the land bank. Intergovernmental relations in terms of collaboration and alignment of departmental activities with those of the entities and other departments, such as rural development, that it will be mentioned with. For the agricultural research, that's all in summary for the department, for the entities, the first one being the Agricultural Research Council. The PC appreciated the 400 million allocation for the FMD facility, and the main issue with the ARC of concern to the committee was the deteriorating financial status and also the history of poor audit findings. For the Onderstepoort biological project, the main issue was the visibility of the entity. That's the entity that produces vaccines in provinces where some of the provinces do not source vaccines or medicinal products from the OPP but from other companies. For the National Agricultural Marketing Council, NAMC, the committee, one of their flagship programs is the Red Meat Development Program, or custom feeding, or loosely feedlots that the ANC implements in provinces. Also, marketing of the program was also an issue because even in provinces where they have these facilities, some community members who own livestock don't know about this. There was also an issue about lack of alignment of activities, for example, between the NAMC and the department in terms of marketing activities. Program 4, the department and the NAMC both deal with market issues and exports. That's all for observations.
Honourable members, these are the observations that the personal committee made. In agreement to our recommendations then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Recommendations are at page 29.
Thank you, Chair. The recommendation also taking into account the reconfiguration that's going to happen with the department and that of land reform being combined into one department. The first recommendation was the appointment at senior level, senior management services in particular, because in the previous years, capacity, which was the result of acting positions at senior level, was an issue. So that has been flagged out as a recommendation for the minister. And the lack of capacity as a result of vacancies at senior management service impacted the department's capacity to implement, for example, policies and legislation, as has been indicated. So if members are agreeing to this recommendation,
so
then
point one. You're okay?
Yeah.
Then 7.2. I would prefer, Madam, that we read it as it is, so that if there's wording or anything that we need to change, so that we don't summarize, because this is very key on holding the executive accountable in this regard.
I'll read through the second one. Through the reconfiguration process, the minister is asked to fast-track the finalization of the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support, and further consider redefining the mandate of the department's conditional grants and other funding instruments and consolidate them into one comprehensive producer support fund, for lack of a better word, that has been put in quotes, that will be administered by the department or a suitable entity as decided by the minister, to minimize administrative costs, to improve spending efficiency of the grant, gain maximum value for money, and better management and accountability for the funds. So the conditional grants and some funding instruments that the department currently has include CASP, MAFISA, the blended finance model, which is the new one, which is basically funded through CASP, the Agri-BEE fund for transformation activities, and I have also included the Recapitalization and Development Program, or RECAP in short. It is the program of the Department of Land Reform, not Agriculture, but I have included it because the two departments will be matched. The process should also be accompanied by a policy implementation plan and a monitoring and evaluation plan to ensure efficient utilization of the funds.
7.2. Hello, Chairperson. I just have a question on this one. As far as I understood the report in the last year, I'm not specifically speaking about last week because we didn't spend a lot of time on this. But I always thought the idea of the words the blended finance model is exactly this. That the blended finance model is going to collapse all these other funds, CASP, MAFISA, and whatever, and then together with the land bank, they will do a comprehensive producership. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I understood it. I thought the blended finance model was exactly to collapse all the other funds into one program. So I'm just a bit concerned that if we use the words blended finance model as a separate, almost a funding model like cost and MAFISA, we are going to confuse ourselves on this. I would just take out the words blended finance model. I don't know, because my idea was that the blended finance model was exactly this, the comprehensive support fund, to collapse all the funding. Maybe it was never explained to us properly what the blended finance model was supposed to be. Honorable Member
Mbabane. Mbabane, thank you, Chair. My question or comment is around the actual funding instruments that have been mentioned here, and I just like to ask whether she says these include, and then mentions a couple of them, and I'd like to know if these are limited to these, or there might be others that you might have missed. I just feel like we need to capture that. These include, but are not limited to, or these include, and that's it, you know, let's just be sure about that.
Can I respond to
the yes.
The blended finance model, when it was presented to the committee, it was presented as a response to the president's pronunciation on the commercialization of black farmers. And the department at the time indicated that it was one of the instruments. If I can go back slightly, there was a policy, an integrated funding policy that was supposed to be developed by the department. But they have since indicated that that policy will form part of the comprehensive producer development support. And when they presented on the blended finance model, they indicated that it's one of the instruments that they are considering. It's not at this stage, it's not necessarily encompassing all the funding instruments. From the department side, funding from a blended finance model is coming from CAP. Okay.
Kathy?
Is that
a follow-up?
Sorry,
Chair.
Then
I accept it in this session. I just wanted to ask clarity on that because that thing is not really clear. I think also in future we ourselves might need clarity on this.
Second question, is this limited to this or the AOS?
The second one, I couldn't think, I don't know if my colleagues could think of other funding instruments from the department, but these are the main ones that come to the vote that I could think of, because ILIMA is a poverty relief, so I haven't included it, one of the other conditional grants. And also land care. So for farmer support, these are the main ones.
Can I just mention that there is a very important support fund that is called Agro Processing Support that is administered through the DTR. I think it's very important because it focuses mainly on agriculture, so I do believe that it really belongs in agriculture rather than in the DTI.
So it's precisely the DTI for now. And here we're talking the department. So we will not copy, but it's something that we're taking and noting so that in future we know how we're tapping into that. 4.3. 7.3. Oh,
sorry, Chair, I would recommend that we say these include but are not limited to. Just for
you know, safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thank you.
These include but are not limited to.
7.3. It's for the minister to engage with the Minister of Finance to discuss the department's funding needs. It's something that they... Okay. Okay. 7.3, page 29. Engage with the Minister of Finance to discuss the department's funding needs and reprioritization of funding, particularly for unfunded mandates, such as SIP 11 is a strategic integrated project, as infrastructure development is essential for the implementation of the APEP and RAVEC to the revitalization of agriculture and agro processing the region.
Members, Narose?
Chairperson, I think maybe Honorable Masipo's point can come in here when you speak about the agro processes, that we don't only say that the minister must engage with the Minister of Finance, but we also include Minister of Trade and Industry specifically regarding the agro-processing value chain development as a proposal that we can make as this committee.
With that addition, not only finance and also the Minister of Trade and Industry, the Scalon Agro-Processing Fund. Going to 7.4.
I think the point that Honourable Stein is trying to make is already captured to an extent in 7.5, the recommendation, because it speaks there of strengthening and facilitating intergovernmental relations with departments such as trade and industry, and it specifically talks of revitalization of agriculture and agro-processing value chain there. So I think maybe if she would agree, I think that it's already covered in that.
Oh, yeah, no. Then we remove that one. Yes, okay. 7.4.
7.4. Just want to let members know.
Oh, read. First track the
First track the establishment of baseline information and databases for the smallholder sector, including the facilitation of a full agricultural census and an import and export system. The databases are essential in order to effectively guide and manage interventions for the development and transformation of the sector, that's one, and to measure impact of government intervention. In this regard, a progress report on the agricultural census, including the development of the National Farmer Register, for which 241 million was budgeted for a three-year period from 2019 until 2021, I think. From 2018, yes, that was from the 2018-19 financial year, and so 2020-21, that was the plan. So a report on that should be submitted in Parliament. The agric census, I believe, is ongoing, but the committee might need a report.
Well, members, don't put things that you did not put, because you will mislead us, and when we have to call the executive accountable, it will be something that is not written there, so the other members could understand and input. This is 4.7. That's why I want us, this one is very, 7.4 is very key, Mami, so that we are able to put it in a way that moving forward, we should be able to know what we said and how are we holding the executive accountable. Now, as and when you explain and put other ways that are not here, it derails us. Honourable members, this is 7.4. Honourable Stein? Happy Honourable Masasi. 7.5. Facilitate, yes. Don't add anything. Bring it like this, like you brought it in front of us.
Facilitate and strengthen intergovernmental relations through the alignment of services between the department, entities, provinces and other departments such as the Departments of Trade and Industry, Small Business Development and the Water and Sanitation, as this can assist the department with cost containment measures in light of budget cuts, avoiding duplication of activities to maximize service delivery and resource allocation to joint programs such as Operation Pagisa for Agricultural Land Reform and Rural Development, which is expected to play a significant role in ensuring the revitalization of the agri and agro-processing value chain.
Honorable members?
Okay.
Okay.
7.6? So I just want to let members know that there's a finalized there. That's a mistake, so I'll remove that. 7.6, ensure that funds that are transferred by both departments to the land bank for agricultural development, e.g. commercialization of black farmers, and transformation, e.g. the Agri-BE fund, are ring-fenced for that purpose, and the land bank should report on their utilization on a regular basis.
Yep. Honourable members? Honourable Masipa, Honourable Mbabama. Mbaba. I'll have to learn.
Chair, I think the request from my side is maybe to consider, you know, reporting on a quarterly basis or on a six-monthly basis. The reason for that is that, you know, the delay and the turnaround time that is being given by farmers, you know, taking a year or two, you know, to approve applications and so forth, so that we can also, you know, monitor that and see what is the progress they made with regards to the funding that has been transferred to them. Thanks, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair. Honourable Masipa and I are on the same page because I was querying the regular basis. I wanted us to make it more specific. Thank you.
Now, Honourable Masipa is suggesting a quarterly or 6 monthly. Which one is realistic? Because the land bank reports to Treasury.
Chair, I would move for 6 months. It's quite realistic given the circumstances.
6 months. Let's put in the specificity there of reporting. Utilization is 6 months. Alright, 7.7.
Page 30. In light of the possibility of the Land and Agricultural Development Bank of South Africa moving back to the Ministry of Agriculture in line with the Cabinet reconfiguration, consider a review of the mandate of the bank to ensure that it addresses challenges of the agricultural sector, including its dual nature, while promoting the development of previously disadvantaged farmers.
Members, Honourable Mashati, Honourable Mbabama.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the paragraph as it is. However, I think we need to make an addition in relation to the funding model of the land bank, looking at the developmental aspect. So we're only looking at the review of the mandate, but we're not speaking about the appropriate funding model for the land bank. I think if we could put that, because if we're going to speak about developmental aspect without necessarily speaking to how is land bank funded, you are equal to not moving towards a program that is going to be developmental in approach. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Chair. I think we should actually go back and look at what the mandate of the land bank says before we actually talk of considering a review. I would like to do it now, but I'm not sure if that is possible. But it seems a rather drastic step to take without actually knowing what the wording of the mandate of the land bank says and whether it addresses the challenges of the agricultural sector at the moment. So I don't know if the researchers or somebody can assist with the mandate of the land bank. I just find it difficult to talk about something that is not here in front of us.
Okay. Honourable Mashati indicated the developmental aspect of it. And this is the bank that we're going to use for blended funding. That is, blended finance means loans and grants at the same time. Hence, she for sure talks about putting also the having an appropriate developmental model also on this one. Honourable Chair, Honourable Stein.
Thanks, Chair.
You on the laptop.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I believe that Land Bank is a commercial bank, and of which, if in this paragraph 7.7, we also include the development of previously disadvantaged farmers. It will mean, Chair, it will be of importance that really we look at the implementation of how then do we address the issue of those previously disadvantaged farmers. Then, Chair, I think I'm also of the view that let's also include the funding model that will address, that will talk to those that we are developing. So it's quite obvious, okay, the mandate of the bank, of that bank, because we discussed this last week in our PC committee. Thanks.
Chairperson, while we can be looking at the mandate of the land bank, I'm not too concerned about the wording here because it says consider a review. We're not saying doing a review. I think that would be part of the whole thing. To look at the mandate of the land bank, is it still relevant? What? It's not that we are saying there must be a review of the land bank. I think the whole paragraph speaks about actually what my colleague Honorable Mbabama wants us to do. I think we need to have the department and the land bank and everyone coming to us to look at it to see if it's still relevant or not. The word consider makes me comfortable that I think we are fine with it.
Thanks for that, Honorable Singh. Honorable Masha, do you want to do follow up on this, Honorable Masha?
Yes, Chair. I'm actually in agreement with Honorable Singh that if indeed, because we're saying let's consider review. Now, I'm of a view that I want to lobby, if this is a correct word, Honorable Mbabama. Am I right, Honorable? Yeah, that we leave the paragraph as it is. We allow issues of us discussing and considering the review of the mandate in our next meeting. Because now, if we're going to open a new debate and start discussing the mandate and so forth, we're going to take 3-4 hours. Because now we will have to make a reference to other legislations and so forth. So I would just, for the purpose of progress in the meeting, that we let it the paragraph as it is, maybe in inclusion of what I've indicated earlier in relation to the funding model, and as we do a comprehensive analysis on the review, we include everything together. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Michael.
Honourable Chairperson, I think I'm covered by the two speakers, Honourable Stein and Honourable Masters, this side. That we lobby Honorable Mbabani to Mbabama. Yes, we lobby Honorable Mbabama to agree with us so that we can pass. Then we, as Honorable Sen said, they need to come to us to come and do presentations so that we can get to deal with it fully. It will then assist us. Thank you.
Honorable Mbabama.
Yeah.
Very progressive. 7.8. Another woman, please. Developmental.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chair. On 7.7, I fully agree that we must look into this issue of the land bank. Now, I just want to check. Are we going to maybe attach timelines so that when can that process actually be looked into, if it is possible or not? I'm saying this because if government takes money to land bank puts a lot of red tape there so that farmers can't access that money. Because this is money from government, and that money must be spent. Even the commercialization of black farmers, it is just going to be a problem that is stuck with the land bank. They will not move. So can we perhaps just attach a timeline to that process of seeing to it that it goes back to operate under government? Because maybe the this red tape that it normally have, it will actually be reduced.
Please suggest. You have a suggestion?
You can safely say in the next financial year. Because I think it's a process that is going to take a bit of time. You can't just rush it, even though it is a serious challenge to farmers.
That's realistic enough. I see your hand, Honorable.
Chair, maybe one is too optimistic. And I think the next financial year, I'm not sure it is Honorable Mundiri saying we must start with the process of review in the next financial year. But if that is the case, I will not agree. I would suggest that at least the process of bringing and reviewing must start in this financial year. Maybe in the next, maybe in the beginning of the last quarter, at least. So that when we enter into the new financial year, we know the program for next year is this one. But to say we move it to next year, I think is too far. Maybe in the last quarter of the financial year.
Honorable, let's actually the paragraph. That's a possibility of coming back and says in line with cabinet reconfiguration. So cabinet reconfiguration is going to start now. So in line with that, for sure in the next financial year we will be debating even as just one vote.
Okay.
So I think the suggestion suffices.
No, Chair, I just wanted to highlight that at the end of the report, there is a recommendation for the Ministry to respond on all the recommendations within 3 months after adoption. So during that period, then the Minister can also indicate if the land bank is coming to her or will still be with finance.
That takes us to 7.8 minutes.
Mm.
Page 1. Develop an action plan with time frames for submission to Parliament to fast track policy development and legislative review, as lack of policies and old legislation have a negative impact on the pace at which the Department executes its mandate.
Honourable members? Honourable Mashati.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Maybe one would like to suggest that I don't think the word lack will be sufficing enough for us to say we are not lacking policies. Policies are there, but what needs to be done is to review and consider some of the policies that are not being implemented, some of the policies that were put in place by the previous committees. Maybe we should look, I'm making better ways of saying how do we then bring those policies on board. I think Honorable Mathias, maybe she will assist me on that, but I don't think we lack. Thank you.
Honorable Mathias.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the paragraph or the resolution or the recommendation. However, I think maybe the wording might have been a problem. Instead of there just after submission to Parliament to fast track policy development, maybe we could speak about proposed policies and legislations instead of policy development, because I'm of a view that the government doesn't just come up with policies in G. And to say policy development as in like it's just coming from nowhere, it doesn't necessarily make sense. And to say we must have an action plan for something that we're still going to think of, I think maybe we just put proposed policies and legislation, because even during our first meeting, we indicated that there were policies that the legislation that we still couldn't be passed in the first parliament. Now, at least we must have an action plan in that regard, but it must indicate even the proposed ones that might be implemented in the next 3 years. We should actually know what is the plan of the department moving forward. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Master. Honorable Kata, after the
thanks, Honorable Chair. I think in addition to what they just said, which I agree, the two honorable members, is that I feel that we need to find a way of influencing certain policies or certain legislation, especially that influence agriculture directly. In this regard, the water, for example, is a very big issue in terms of the process of getting the water. The emerging farmers are struggling, you know, to get water licenses. Mm-hmm. And again, the National Credit Act, which affects the way the banks are dealing with all the developmental finance, especially in agriculture. So I think the influence of the policy is very important from us as to how we're going to influence those policies to cater for our mandate that we are given to deliver. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable
Governor. Thank you, Chair. I hope I'm not becoming naive, because I was just suspecting that with that point, after the development, policy development and legislative review, which to me seems to be essence of this paragraph, I should have just ended there.
Okay, now. What I have captured here says, develop an action plan with time frames for submission to Parliament on proposed policy and legislation to fast-track policy development and legislative review. That's where you want to end, Honorable Kapu. And does it encompass what Honorable Masipa saying of us having an influence, probably having policies for the sixth administration? Honorable Stanis, your hand up?
No.
Okay, Honorable Magam.
Thank you, Chair. I would say develop an action plan with time frames for submission to Parliament to fast-track policy, to fast-track policy and legislative review and stop it. I don't know if that captures the whole thing, that's just a suggestion. Because the policy is there, the legislation is there, we are just reviewing it.
Okay. Honorable,
thank you.
Last on this one.
Chair, honestly, I don't see anything wrong with the wording, because I think it just says lack of policies and old legislation have a negative impact on the pace at which the department executes its mandate. It just puts emphasis on making sure that the process of fast-tracking policy development and legislative review happens. And it warns us, if we don't do that as soon as possible, it will really affect, it will really have a negative impact in terms of how the department executes its mandate. It's just something that serves to say, do this, failure to do it, it will affect the department in terms of them executing their mandate. So it doesn't suggest there are no policies at all. Lack can be not having one or two policies in place, that would actually derail the department in terms of executing its mandate. So I see it as something that says, do it. If you don't do it, a failure will have a negative impact on the department. It doesn't suggest anything wrong. It doesn't suggest there are no policies at all. Policies are there. But failure to review them, to do what is necessary, will impact the department in terms of executing its mandate. It's just a... Why are we so afraid of lack?
Honorable Monteni Raleboga, you are the only one who doesn't see lack as meaning there's nothing. We will stay, everyone is agreeing that we say develop an action plan with time frames for submission to Parliament to fast track policy development and legislative review, full stop. That encompasses what Honorable Mahlatsi said of proposed policy. So the proposed could be new developments and everything. We're taking what Comrade, your Honorable Mahlatsi said. My apologies. 7.9. Madam Kwanam Sobala.
7.9. Submit to Parliament a comprehensive progress report on the commercialization of black producers, revitalization of irrigation schemes and agricultural colleges.
Honorable members?
Agreed.
Honorable Gata Sendis and Honorable Mba Bama.
Just a small plastic chair, whether it's a submission of progress reports or is one report or is all. And secondly, a conclusion of time frame or because we haven't indicated when it's going to be meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. We're noting also the italics that the minister will have to submit if we agree in 3 months. Honorable Mba Bama. It's a report, and the minister will have to give the response in 3 months according to the italics there. Are we okay with that one, Honorable Kaba?
Sure.
Same page, same WhatsApp group. 7.10.
Ensure that the Agricultural Research Council submit to Parliament its financial turnaround plan and an audit improvement plan and present progress on this in Parliament during quarterly briefings. Mm. Mm. Review the mandates of the department public entities to strengthen alignment in brackets amongst entities and between entities and the department to avoid duplication of functions and to contain costs. Where there are duplicated roles, merging should be considered.
Honorable members?
Yeah.
Yes, Chair. I wanted to propose that what we is strengthened there is coordination instead of alignment of these entities.
To strengthen coordination, members? Okay, cool. Instead of alignment, we say coordination. 7.12.
But alignment is one for another.
Sorry? If you talk amongst yourself and you don't lift your hands, I don't know what to do. Mm. Honorable Mbata, Honorable Stay.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairperson. I think the alignment is much better because you align all services with different departments. Remember, agriculture cuts across some of the departments. So you have to align. You are not coordinating because once you coordinate, it's something else.
Honorable Stein?
Agree.
The matter of semantics.
Mm.
Okay.
I don't
if you don't believe and you don't raise your hand, I don't know how to give you a chance to explain yourself. Honorable Kap.
That term to me, which is to avoid the duplication of functions, that is what invites me to take coordination instead of alignment.
In
order to avoid duplication of mandate, there has to be alignment. So that you align, you take certain functions that are being duplicated by this and this, you bring them to one so that they, I think that's one thing that you raised about the entities when you had a meeting. Mm-hmm. So alignment remains more relevant than coordination, because coordination is something that happens. We believe that there's coordination in those entities as we speak. Alignment is taking something there, putting it there, and making sure that the wheels move smoothly without anything wrong.
So, review the mandates of the department's public entities to strengthen alignment and coordination to avoid duplication of functions. Let's put both words because I'm not an expert on this language, if ever, that will help us. Honorable Mbabama.
Chair, alignment is fine. Now, if you say alignment and coordination, I'll come up with my own word and then you add that one as well.
Yeah.
So alignment is fine. It covers it.
So alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Honorable
Minority
dissent.
Minority dissent. That takes us to 7.12.
In light of the constrained fiscal framework,
coordinate and align agricultural research activities and initiatives among entities and also between the entities and the provincial research stations. It ends there. The department should report on this, I think. That was a mistake.
Honorable Stein, Honorable Mbagama, Honorable Mashanti.
Chairperson, when I read all of these recommendations, the one thing that I remember that I spoke about in the previous term was that we never mention food security when we speak in our, and that is one of the things that the President also mentioned, that we must ensure, can't remember what was his words, half people without food security or what the exact, and this is the department that needs to deal with it. So one of the things that I thought when we came to this point 7.1.2, I don't know where to put it in, but I actually think that we need to specifically mention food security. There needs to be a quarterly or yearly or 6-monthly report from the department on their alignment then with other departments, because when you start talking food security, you go social development, health, there's a whole lot of departments actually that's dealing with food security, and I know it is supposed to be under the presidency on the monitoring and evaluation, but I think this needs to be the department that needs to deal with the fact that do we eat, produce enough food? There's transport that comes into play. There's all kinds of other departments that come into play that when you look at the definition of food security, you know, it's not only the production of food, but it's also the affordability, the nutritional, and all of that. So I just think this portfolio needs to be a bit more stronger on ensuring food security and the alignment and the coordinating in other departments. So it's a long word that I'm saying, but I think we mustn't scrap it here. I think we must strengthen it with the word food security and in there.
Honourable Mbagam.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just asking the honourable members to assist me here, because in my mind 7.11 and 7.12 basically saying the same thing.
Mm.
I do not see the difference between the two.
Not all my person.
I agree with the latter speaker on 7.11 and 7.12. In actual fact, I was going to propose that we just delete 7.12 because it's just a duplicate of what has been said in 7.11. Thanks, Chair.
The two latter speakers are agreeing on this one, and there's an important issue that has been raised today by Honorable Senior, Honorable Britt.
Thank you.
Honorable Britt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to agree with Honorable Stein, and I think during this meeting as well, the Honorable Chairperson also mentioned that in terms of food security and how we need a third of production, you know, over so that we can export, and he also stated that as very important. And I think this committee needs to take a decision, and I would support the suggestion by Honourable Stein that the department comes and reports back on a regular basis, but that we maybe have a clear indicator as to what regarding food security and how we want them to actually represent that to us, and maybe the research staff can assist in that regard on how to exactly word that.
Honourable Mbatha.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I would just support the Honourable
Mashati
on deleting 7.12, because it looks like the duplication 7.11 and 7.12. Thank you.
Honourable Mashati.
That's your last bite, Honourable Kapoor.
Okay, I think what we need, I agree with Honourable Stein on the element of research. However, maybe we would use 7.12 to reconstruct a new item recommendation there in the absence of what is here already. Maybe we could just reword it to accommodate her input in this regard. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Tato.
Chair, I was just worried about merging these when the other one is even talking about between entities and provincial research stations, whereas the previous one has not gone that far. But if there's a way that measures them without having any information getting lost, I would be comfortable. Especially I'm thinking that one.
Honourable members, this one goes out, but we need a new one that talks to food security. Nobody must go hungry in South Africa. It is a mandate, it's a policy statement by the president. As and when, before we finish here, just wait something based on what Honourable Stein has indicated. 7.13, we'll go back to 7.12, included that talks to food security. But
thank you, Chair. I think sometimes we should actually go back to the writer of the document and ask maybe what was the thinking behind, you know, the two. Because I see everything is covered in 7.11, that is in 7.12, except for the provincial research station.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could just say, we could just include it in a bracket there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes let's go back to her and ask her what was the thinking behind. And then we can understand how to make the change.
Okay. Let's give you that chance.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Ms. Babama and Mr. Kapa. Was about to lobby the committee on this one because 7.12, the focus is on research, and to remind members that not all the public entities are mandated to do research, but they do, and the department also does, and the kind of research that they all do is not well coordinated. And also there are research stations, I think there are two, that are still operating as research stations in provinces. And the kind of research that they do is also not aligned to what is happening nationally. And the department in some cases also not aware of research activities in those. So my suggestion was going to find a way of combining 7.11 and 7.12 by bringing into 7.11 the research aspect and aligning activities with provincial stations in terms of research.
And then have a standalone that talks to food security.
Okay.
That suffice, members?
Yes.
Okay. 7.13.
7.13. Engage with the Minister of Higher Education and Training and Science and Innovation to address the shortage of critical skills in the agricultural sector and to strengthen research capacity in light of technological developments that have implications for the sector, such as the fourth industrial revolution. This should include a national skills assessment across sectoral disciplines.
Honourable members? Honourable Singh?
Chairperson, I think that this is fine to be a standalone because it's a specific area, but I'm just thinking AgriCETAS. We never get anything from AgriCETAS coming to us. Of course, that is exactly what AgriCETA is supposed to be doing, is looking at the skills and development. Shouldn't we include them in this paragraph then, so that we don't forget about them?
Madam, what's your advice on this one?
Thank you, Chair. This one is about academic training. AgriCETA does training, does basic training. They also train farmers. I think if members recall, the NAMC also work with them closely when they do farmer training. But this one is about the kind of higher education that we have, considering there are always complaints about the kind of support that farmers get from extension services, and extension practitioners are all graduates. So the question is, what does the department have an influence on the kind of training that our higher education institutions offer? Does it talk to the needs that 7.13? Otherwise, AgriCeta does provide basic training like the TVET and others. It usually reports to the Committee on Higher Education, but there's nothing that stops the committee to call it as well.
Does it make sense, Honorable Sam? Thanks. Now we end by saying the committee further recommends that within 3 months after the adoption of this report by the National Assembly, the Minister should submit a report that tables responses and progress on the implementation of the above recommendations. Members, do I see a move for adoption of this report with the additions and corrections that we made? Honourable Steyn?
Propose that we adopt this, Chair, with a provision that when we get the final one, we can make recommendations if we're not happy with that section that's included.
Any seconder? Honourable Matasu?
Chair, I've been seconding the move to adopt.
Thanks, Honourable Members. This report is adopted as such. The next report will be that one of Dr. Who? My name is.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to. Would it? I'm not too sure in terms of time, Chair. Do you want me to go straight to recommendation?
Summarize our findings, refresh our minds on findings, the page that deals with the summary of findings, just summarize them point by point and go there.
Thanks, Chair. There are two or three mistakes in the entire document around the date. Somewhere where it says 2018-2019. So that has been taken care of. And where, instead of referring to the Minister of Agriculture, it says Minister of Rural Development, that has been taken care of. In terms of the observations, what we did was to break it down according to program. You will see that under administration, there are issues around alignment with priorities of government, which the committee commends the department for attempting that. There's concerns around the vacancy rate, lack of policy frame, overarching policy framework, but also commending the department for making sure that there's going to be a wide revised white paper, which has been a weakness for many years. Concern about lack of time frame for planned policies to be submitted in Parliament. So, because that creates a really challenge for this committee to do its oversight. With regard to National Geomatic Services, the concern about lack of clarity with regard to delineation of responsibilities, among the Presidency, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and COGTA. There's also issues around the land audit, which this committee identified that it has to be completed. We know that the first phase of that audit, which was completed, but it hasn't been finalized. And that really is important because it will enable government to begin to identify strategic and well-located public and state land to be released for redistribution. And that work require coordination with the Department of Public Works and the infrastructure. With regard to rural development, the committee noted the NARISEC program, which is, in terms of funding, has not been getting enough, and that affects the skills development among the rural youth, particularly, and the committee would require some kind of a review of that just to assess the effectiveness. Also commending the work being done around the agri-parks, and the potential around transformation of the rural economy. However, noting the problem with regard to coordination in the department. Also noting that they are, even within rural development as a program itself, there's a lot of work that has been done, which is primarily agricultural work, and showing that there's lack of coordination with DAF then and DTI, and hoping that the configuration of this new department will actually make sure that all these are brought together, some, you know, under one the branch. With regard to land reform, the budget really is not, has been in decline in real terms. That's one observation. There is also, in terms of the planning documents, the committee is beginning to see budgeting for tenure reform, which really deals with CPA issues, farm worker eviction, and labor tenants as well. Concern about duplication, particularly when we look at RECAP, policy implementation of RECAP, that has been a major problem. And again, the idea that if we are to reconfigure and bring all elements of agricultural support under one roof, that will help. Slow release of state and public land, again, the problem is contributing to the slow pace of land reform, which is a risk in itself because some people may move on to those land and occupy them. With regard to the commission, which is basically restitution, this committee also notes that, one of the observations is that the commission still operates under as program four, not as an autonomous entity, which it was envisaged to be in terms of this, the law, the Restitution of Land Rights Act of 1994. Strategy around dealing with state land, including all military land and other agricultural land, has not been active, so there's been very slow release of land for restitution. There are also operation packages of agricultural land reform and rural development, which is emphasizing settlement and finalization of land claim as the highest priority matter. And that requires research capacity, negotiation, and conflict resolution skills. The Office of the Valuer General, the committee is welcoming this development, but again, it emphasizes the need to clarify issues around how it works, the valuations. We've heard about the delays through the valuation, but this needs to be clarified also to determine what just an equitable compensation in line with Section 25(3) of the Constitution, what it means. It also noted the underachievement by the Commission to meet the target, and that it is attributed to late appointments of valuers or the slow process of the, of valuation. That meaning that then the OVG must really deal with capacity issue in that office. With regard to the Ingonyama Trust, concerns around no clear target, particularly with regard to identification of community and development projects or agricultural projects. But if that is not clarified, then it's not very clear what are the, who's actually getting sort of the benefits, what are these material benefits to the deserving community. Concerns around, which is mainly an audit opinion around royalty revenue and also the valuation, the audit, is that the audit? The engagement between the ICB Auditor General Department and National Treasury, and also the Accountant General. The policy development process, there was a concern that they keep giving these numbers, so and there's been a very poor track record on policy development processes within the ITB. And so, having made these observations and conclusions, the recommendations which I'm going to read are as follows. I think it's important to read this. In view of the observations and key conclusions discussed above, the committee recommends that the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development should ensure policy coherence across different branches of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and ultimately the new department. I'll make that addition. And other government policies and legislation outside the mandate of the department, especially in dealing with communal land tenure policy and development support for smallholder farmers. Ensure that the coordination of the new department pulls together all forms of settlement support under a single branch, for example, development support through recapitalization and development program, MAFISA, CAF, in order to create a comprehensive support program that targets both large-scale commercial farmers and smallholders in the former homeland areas. Submit management response to the SIU findings and recommendations, as well as the progress report, the implementation of the recommendation, and systems put in place to ensure prevention of the recurrence of maladministration and corruption.
Honourable members, those are the general recommendations. Honourable Bagwama, then Honourable State.
Thank you, Chair. I just need an understanding on bullet point number 2, the second bullet point, where we talk of the department putting together all forms of settlement support under a single branch in order to create a comprehensive support program that targets both large-scale commercial farmers. In what way would these target large-scale commercial farmers? Maybe I've just forgotten my MAFISAs and my CAFs and whatever. Is there room for targeting of large-scale commercial farmers in that? Thank you.
Honourable Topper.
Thank you, Chair. After this, just before administration, I was just thinking if maybe it can be harm if we come again with a bullet that comes to that point of Honourable Stain talking about food security, which always disappears.
Honourable Stain?
Chairperson, one thing that I've been thinking about for a while, and it was interesting now when the two departments have merged again, I'm just thinking about the first bullet point where it says ensure policy coherence across different branches and other government policies. In provinces, agriculture and land reform is not always in one portfolio. I know, for instance, and I'm going to mention the Western Cape because the department in the Western Cape is the Department of Agriculture. It was never agriculture, land and environment or whatever like in other provinces. So I don't know if we can put it in here because provinces are autonomous on their own, but I'm just thinking about this because in the past, I know when we did oversight over agriculture in provinces, we never really got anything from land reform, although in most provinces, agriculture, land and environment was one department. So I'm just thinking the realignment, you know, even going down to provincial level, because sometimes we get to do oversight on provinces and then they just, you know, report on certain things. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear here, but if we can put something, we can't say provinces must do it themselves also, but I'm just a bit concerned that, you know, we discuss things on national level, but we don't always see that coordination on a provincial level, how that needs to happen.
Doctor? Oh, before you, Honourable Marshall.
Chairperson, I fully understand what my Honourable is saying, but when you look at this bullet number, I don't know what I call it, will I call it number 2?
which talks about ensuring that the configurations of the new departments cannot be able to cover the concern. Because if you look at that bullet, it talks about this new department that we are talking about, this new baby that is there now, which is the department that is bringing everything together. So I was of the opinion that, but I'm not saying we should throw away what she mentioned, but what I'm saying is that let's look at this bullet. Maybe this bullet can assist us.
Thank you for the comments. The question, okay, I'll start with that one, Honorable Madama, about large scale. And I think this is the discussion that at some point in this committee, you know, we must have. What do we mean by, it's very clear what large scale pharma is, but what do we mean by smallholder farmers? Because there are different interpretations to that. If you look at, obviously I have a bias because I come from land reform side. If you look at what land reform has been doing, you know, it's one of the things was that it wants to create a class of black commercial farmers, right? That's what they've been doing. So when we say large-scale commercial farmers and smallholders, is that the program of support should actually be able to deal with farmers across different scales. Unless if this committee wants to decide and say we will focus on certain. But the idea there is that as we do configuration, as we build this comprehensive support program, it should be able to deal with farmers across different scales. There's a risk most of the time where we target, or by default or unintentionally, we then target the big guys. And which is the problem in reading the blended finance model, that it sort of has a particular bias in favor of large-scale commercial farms. So the idea here is that across the different scales of farmers, support should be provided. That's the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the point around policy coherence, which and I think it's important, that must be in developing policies at a national level. You can't develop that in a, like I'm national, and I don't know what's happening at a province. That policy must look at what is happening, including Western Cape, what's happening in the province, so that then what your national policy will be able to talk to what's happening in the province. Let's give an example in the land reform sector. In the land reform sector, you will have legislation, for instance, that says people in rural, in communal areas have stronger rights, even if they don't have title. But you then have mineral resources in their operations, going into rural spaces and actually consulting traditional leaders and giving land away, and people who have stronger rights not being informed. You can think about issues around the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act and how it impacts on land reform. So the idea is that as we develop policies at a national level, there must be policy coherence across the board. It's not only agriculture when you bring land reform into picture.
Honorable
Chair, without actually creating him and I thing with Dr. here, but I just need him to understand where I am coming from. In my mind, a large-scale commercial farmer, whether black or white or green, does not need CASP, MAFISA, recapitalization, etc., etc. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm not understanding the gist of what this paragraph is trying to say. Because if you're a large-scale farmer, to me, you don't need all these programs. So why would it be supporting, unless we are saying we are going to include large-scale commercial farmers in there to assist, maybe to give, let me make an example, white commercial farmers, to give them an incentive to assist your Opkomende Boere. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, and if that is the case, then we need to be specific around it. Because really a large scale farmer will not need any form of post-settlement support or any grant for that matter, if the person is already a large scale farmer. Or unless you are saying, maybe we must use these grants to facilitate the stepping up of, I don't think stepping up is the right term, but moving in the, you know, moving up of smallholder farmers to large. So I would really like us to clarify this more. And I'm afraid I don't have the words.
Honorable Chair, I think in my opinion is that maybe the wording needs to change. I think the intentions are right. I think maybe large emergent, you know, black producers, you know, something like that, that will probably be talking to what you are targeting, because we know it's a fact that most of the farmers that are on the land reform farms are still getting support from the recap, you know, support and so forth. And I think that's what you're talking about. And these guys are on large tracts of land. They're not on small, older farmers. I think my suggestion is that maybe the wording or the naming must be crafted properly. Thanks, Chair.
Dorcas, and when you respond, I'm just thinking where I'm sitting on what we just discussed, this department's managing land reform and agriculture. On this one, we just spoke about also bringing all this, not limited to that, your black commercialization, your Mercedes and cars, not limited to that, into a single support kind of a funding. Or how do we bring it together with this one if we have to leave out the large-scale commercial farmers, because I saw it on that, and their blended finance is meant also for your commercialization of farmers. Please clarify it for the comfort of members.
So how would it be, and I accept the discussion, how would it be maybe instead of large-scale, and maybe we will have to link our, instead of large scale, or we include emerging, emerging farmers, which is commercial. So the idea here, and I take note that yes, we cannot limit to this, to these that are written here, there may be others, but there is, I mean, for maximum impact, you've got to target, right? So maybe we then say emerging farmers and smallholder farmers. The reason why I used the large scale there is, and as you rightly say, we've been to Free State and we found, and I think Honorable Stein, you were there, where a farmer was assisted with a million bulls. So that guy, you will not call him a small guy, he's a big guy. And these are emerging, but that are already doing very well because of government support. And if you look at Honorable Mbabane, you remember about the amount of money that was spent on recap. So, but this is a committee report. If the committee wants it to be emerging, we will write emerging. There's no problem with that. The idea is that there has to be support, you know, across different scales of farmers.
Thanks, and I think like we agree with Honorable Mbama that when you say large scale, if somebody reads this, will always say that they don't need. So that really suffices. Let's go to administration then. Kiko Paliska, we start the backup plan. Give him a chance. I let you know, Sunyana, if you want to, because now I'm distracted.
Under administration finalize all disciplinary matters in the Department of Rural Development within 30 days. I'm not sure if this is realistic. Further submit a report within 30 days after the finalization of the disciplinary matters that outlines the outcomes of each matter. In the event that some matters could not be concluded as recommended here, a time-bound plan on conclusion of all On concluding, all investigations and disciplinary matters must be submitted to the committee. Submit a revised legislative and policy program outlining realistic targets for tabling of planned pieces of legislation in the National Assembly, as well as finalization of the proposed policies. Enhance capacity of the policy and the legislative drafting section of the department in order to ensure adherence to the legislative program of the department. This comes from the history where they write policies, but these policies are never finalized, legislation is never developed, sent to parliament.
Honorable members. Honorable Berriet, Honorable Mashati, Honorable Mbabama, Honorable Kapoor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My only comment or maybe suggestion would be, and as the Honorable Dr. has also stated, that the first bullet, finalize all disciplinary matters in the department within 30 days. I think maybe we should allow them or allot them more time to handle disciplinary processes. I think the 30 days for finalization of reports is correct, but maybe to extend that to 60 days or even 3 months. Just to ensure that enough time, because I'm just scared we are in a situation where the report never comes because disciplinary hearings are never are not finished.
Thanks, Chair. I agree with the latter speaker on the 30 days, but I'll propose that we make it 90 days, 3 months, at least to finalize the the issues in relation to disciplinary matters. As those last two bullets, I agree, sorted, given that they were discussed in the previous report as well in relation to legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tabu.
I'm covered, Chair.
Honorable Mbambana.
I'm covered, Chair.
National Geomatics Management Services.
Draw coordination and implementation plan in conjunction with COCTA and the DPME with regards to SPLUMAS, perhaps implementation. Further submit the plan for consideration by the relevant portfolio committee jointly, or joint portfolio committee. Finalize without delay the next phase of land audit, which must unpack the ownership of all land under the ownership of trusts and companies. Further finalize survey of all land in the former homeland territories. Submit an implementation plan for the identification of well-located and strategic land in cities and peri-urban areas to be released for redistribution to landless people. Equally, develop same plan for rural state lands to be released for restitution and redistribution.
Honorable members. Honorable Steyn. Honorable Chetan.
Chairperson, I have a comment on the first bullet point where it says further submit the plan for consideration by the relevant portfolio committees jointly. I'm not sure that is the role of the minister. As far as I understand, it's the role of the committee chairs to then call. The minister must just finalise the implementation plan and submit it to us, because it will be submitted to us according to this time frame that we would set, and then it's up to the committee chairs to call a joint meeting. I don't think it's up for the... I'm just thinking about the technicalities. The minister must just finalize the plan, and we will, or the chairpersons of the committees will call a joint meeting. And then on the second bullet point, where it says further finalize the survey of all land in the former homeland territories, I don't think it's only just former homeland territories that's not surveyed. I went to do an oversight in my own constituency in my municipalities, which is not a former homeland area. There's houses built, but it's not surveyed. There's no herbs and things that, so it, well, I was kind of surprised. So it's not just former homelands. I think it's further than, it might be small pockets, but it might not just be former homelands. So I just think we need to, I know what we're trying to say here,
and focus on that, but I just think we need to take out the words for more than that, because there might be other areas.
Honourable Chairman. Thanks, Chair. Chair, my comment is on the second point, which says finalize without delay the next phase of land project. Chair, I'm not sure if I follow there, whether there's a first phase, second, third, fourth phase, up to 10. How many phases were there? Rather, Chair, I would like to propose that we say we finalize without delay the proposed detailed plan of land audit. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Marshall and Honourable Mbambam.
Chairperson, as much as I agree with my honourable member, I mean, we should check, I mean, indeed what she said, how many faces did they have? As this committee of the 16th Parliament, we are coming here, but not forgetting that there was a committee also that was dealing with these issues. Maybe somehow we can be given an information which will assist us to go back to the statement when you said, honourable member, I don't know how many faces did you have. So if we can just come to a conclusion to say let's put in this without checking whether we might be losing some of the more important information that can assist us going forward. Thanks.
Chair, I was just looking for timelines around all of this. I don't agree with the without delay. I would rather we are more specific in terms of timelines, but also understand that there is a merger that has to happen between two different departments, so it might take a bit long, but I would suggest that we put timelines after the good doctor has explained the phases of the land audit.
As you explained, Doctor, I was also looking at this, and I think land audit goes also with the funding. I don't know how much does it cost to do land audit, and I agree with what Honorable Stan is saying, that it must not only be limited to homelands. There has to be expansion. Probably the proposed detailed plan that should be submitted for the next phase must also include a proposed budget, so that we know how much will they spend on that. We must not just throw it to them. Tomorrow they'll come back and say, committee has said we must do it. Yes, and when they give us the proposed plan, it has to have a budget, proposed budget, so that we know. And I was also looking for page 19, or still has got that italics here, 3 months. I don't know if it will suffice for Honorable Mbambam on that. This plan must come in 3 months with all these details that we want. The finalization, even I don't agree, finalize without delay. It has to be specific. Doctor.
Thank you. We can do away with the submission to the, the consideration by the relevant portfolio committees, that the first bullet must then say minister must submit that plan, and not go into detail. You know, that's an internal matter where the portfolio committees will deal with these issues. There's no harm in doing away with without delay, because we have time frames. We have set the time frames at the end. So I agree. The question around the issue of there was a first phase of the audit which was done by this department, and I'll link it with the homelands and the issues related to what Honorable Stein said. From that report, what it found is that there are pockets of land in the former homelands which are not surveyed, and this is why we put this here. I am
So we can include that in the manner in which you are recommending. Perhaps what has happened is that you have larger outer boundaries surveyed, but the internal ones not done. You know, perhaps this is this the mandate of this department to do that, or is it a municipal? It's something else. But in terms of the outer boundaries, you might find that they are diagrams and everything has been done, but not the internal ones. But perhaps to broaden it, let's broaden it, and the minister can respond to that. But the first report we got didn't say, it only showed that the problems were in the former homeland area. We will also include the issue around the budget in terms of this audit, I agree.
That takes us to rural development. Honourable members, we have 20 minutes before the next committee in this venue.
Can I leave all of them? Just one second.
Conduct a review of the NARICEC program to assess if the program has achieved intended outcomes over the last 5 years, highlight the challenges encountered and the implications for future program implementation. Further, skills development under NARICEC should be linked to the mandate of the new department. Together with the National Treasury, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the other relevant government departments, review all programs under rural development, especially those linked to revitalization of agriculture, agro-processing, as well as small business development in order to minimize duplication of work. Ensure that all agricultural support programs are coordinated under the same branch in the newly configured Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. In restitution, a strict reconfiguration of an autonomous commission as per the Restitution of Land Rights Act. Work with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development to ensure that the Land Claims Court is well capacitated with permanent judges and all relevant operational support mechanisms required to speedily deal with all matters before it without delay and clear backlog of claims before it. Ensure that the reports that are submitted to the Land Claims Court biannually are also referred to the committee in order to ensure alignment and the consistency on issues reported before the Land Claims Court and Parliament. Continuously engage National Treasury about the increasing allocation of funding for restitution to clear the commitment register of settled claims, land claims, and to accelerate finalization of land claims as outlined in Operation Pakiza Initiative.
Let's stand there so that I don't lose my audience. Members, rural development, Tribulus.
Anything
there? Alice, have you, I think we could leave it right, so come in one.
Thank you, Chair. I think under Nazareth. Yeah, I'm going there. I'm not sure, but I think this 1,330 that NARICEC participants are getting, I think it's very little. If the department can consider, as much as they're going to review the NARICEC program, if they can consider taking them on a permanent basis. Doctor? if it's something that we need and you consider taking them on a full-time basis, they go and do the work in line with the fundamental objectives.
Chair, I don't have anything here. I'm just asking for a correct acronym on your last bullet.
Okay, Honourable Montoya is posing that to the, we'll take it to the department next time. For sure you can answer on their behalf if you'll be able to afford to give them more than... I don't want him to commit the department. The department is not here. Okay.
I'm not going to commit the department. I'll suggest that perhaps the committee must familiarize itself with
NASEC itself before it goes into that recommendation. Look at what they're doing and perhaps go out and visit them and see. In the previous parliament, we went to one municipality and some of the guys, the NASEC people, complained and said, we don't have work to do, you know. So you have to go and see, you know. And also, I mean, I'm not going to go into the budget of the department and whether it can take. I'm just saying, maybe let's program it, let's ask for presentation, let's hear, let's see what they're doing, and then see if we can make a recommendation like that.
Okay. Honorable Mbaba, we have the last 18 minutes for sure in this venue I have indicated to you members. Honorable Mbaba.
I'll comment at the end, Chair. It's to do with the time frame. Thank you.
Just
quickly, NARISEC should be linked to the mandate of the new department. We will never find a situation where they don't have work to do, for as long as whatever that they do is linked to the mandate of the department. There's post-settlement support that the department has offered to farmers there, as soon as they've been allocated farms and so. If they can go along those lines, they'll never sit without doing anything.
Chair, without necessarily responding to Honorable Mundwili, but I think the input that Honorable Mundwili made during our committee meeting, the previous one, was quite progressive in the sense that he made propositions that part of the program of the department is to ensure that these young men and women who are participating in NARISEC must become small farmers. Now, when you take them in department and appoint them permanently, it defeats the actual program that we're referring to. However, can we allow the department equally to come and make a presentation and take like our doctor indicated earlier? Let's not get into the operational issues of the department, rather focus on the strategic level in terms of what needs to happen, what needs to be achieved. We've adopted the APP, I think we agree. Can we move, I wanted to make a contribution on the restitution if we're moving that line. Now, Chair, and I think bullet one, I would just want to make a proposition that it says fast track reconfiguration. I think it would be much more prudent that we indicate that that particular reconfiguration must be in line with the macro reconfiguration that the president is doing in relation to all other departments. So I would want to put that and say, given that reconfiguration is expected to take place within the first 6 months, it must also include this particular element that the autonomous commission. That will be my input. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, honourable members. I indicated when we started that other members are committed in other plenaries and everything. I don't want to lose all of you out of this room. That's why it is important that we move. Tate, manager, you got those comments?
Okay.
Are we done? Is there anything else on the situation except what members have spoke up to? Okay, land reform.
On that, enterprise analysis and socio-economic impact assessments of a representative sample of farming enterprises under the RECAP, strengthening relative rights, the program, the so-called 50-50, and other post-settlement initiatives under the AgriParks program. The impact assessment should be geared towards assessing if government funds invested under these programs were yielding viable and sustainable farming businesses and ultimately having livelihood impact on members of projects or beneficiaries. Ensure that the department, working with the OVG, Office of the Valuer General, must develop a policy position regarding expropriation of land in the public interest, taking into consideration the solemn pronouncement around expropriation of land without compensation in a manner that does not harm the economy and food security. Further explore the modalities with which such policy pronouncements could be implemented. Ensure capacity ensure capacity of the department to monitor land reform projects, especially an interface of strategic partnerships and mentorship programs, and distribution of rewards or dividends to beneficiaries. Conclude without delay the finalization of the integrated funding model for post-settlement support. Working with the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development to facilitate discussion between the Department and Legal Aid Board, aiming at strengthening the provision of legal services to the vulnerable landless people, especially farm dwellers and labor tenants, who confront the brutality of illegal evictions from their homes on farms, as well as violation of tenure rights for people living on communal land in the former homeland.
Honourable members. Honourable Mahlatsi, then Honourable Kato.
Thanks, Chair. I'm agreeing with all the tips that are there, besides on bullet number one. I've got a challenge with, the so-called. I would preferably want to, maybe we could have removed the so-called, it doesn't sound quite good, professional or something like that, but rather than say, popularly known as, you know, something like that. And then the last part is the legal aid support. I would also want to include the legal support for beneficiaries of land claims. Because in most cases, if you had to refer to a number of issues that has been in the media space and everywhere else, where the department has given land, has managed and settled the issues, but later on, the beneficiaries themselves, they've got challenges with other, whether to call stakeholders or partners outside the department. And the minute there are battles there, the department is also called in to intervene. Therefore, this legal support for beneficiaries will actually assist the department not to utilize its limited resources in far as dealing with other issues outside the department. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Toto?
I'm covered, Chair.
Any other? That day, Manenza, that's the input. Okay. Office of Advisor General.
Ensure that the capacity of the Office of Evaluator General is enhanced in order to support faster delivery of quality support service to land reform, especially acceleration of settlement of land claims. And then we should stop there. Failure to do so is discussed about risks depending on the unintended consequences of the establishment of the OVG. Submit an organogram of the OVG indicated funded posts, both filled and vacant, and the positions that are additional to the establishment.
Honourable Levin, Honourable Steyn, Honourable Mashlatsi.
I'm happy with it, but stop at before 5 years to do some.
Okay.
The last bullet, submitting organogram, I would rather say table the progress report in terms of appointments, because that was the issue, the pending issue in the last meeting, that there is an organogram, but the department OVG has a structure of 100 people, but there are only 17 there. At least get a table of progress report in that regard in the next committee meeting or within 3 months. Thank you.
Agreed. I see most members nodding their heads. The Ingonyama Trust Board.
On the basis of the legal opinion obtained by the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform, facilitate discussion between the Auditor General, the Ingonyama Trust, and the ITB, Ingonyama Trust Board, and the Department to develop common understanding on the nature of the Ingonyama Trust and the Ingonyama Trust Board. That is, whether the ITB should be seen as an independent entity from the Ingonyama Trust, and the auditing complexities there. Facilitate resolution of key questions and concerns raised by the Auditor General in relation to the value of the ITB's land or property so that the ITB could move towards achievement of a qualified audit. Further submit quarterly progress reports on the implementation of remedial measures set out by the Auditor General in order to ensure that the ITB is compliant with all relevant prescriptions. Conduct a comprehensive socio-economic impact assessment of the performance of ITB and how the beneficiaries have materially and socio-economically benefited from the ITB program.
Honorable members, Honorable Chair, Honorable Kapa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I need clarity on this issue, the first bulletin. On the basis of legal opinion obtained by the Minister, is there a legal opinion that is being, that is there? If not, I would suggest that as this committee, the Minister should seek a legal opinion, firstly on the issue that the Ingonyama Trust, is it still relevant during this administration? If yes, then how then can we take what they are doing in terms of administering the land so that we can also copy that model to other provinces or other kingdoms? But for now, Chair, I need what is the legal opinion. If not, then seek it.
Honorable Topo.
Thank you, Chair. My share on that, on bullet one, dear friends, that on the basis of the legal opinion that will be obtained from the Minister of Rural Development. So that will be obtained by the Minister of Rural Development. In fact, the Minister, I think, in this case, is agriculture and rural development. But now, my feeling is that there is no legal opinion at the moment. And then lastly is that I feel that there is something which was discussed extensively but which disappeared. Maybe Dolofia must be part of the one of the existence of Ingonyama Trust vis-a-vis other areas, even compared like other Makosi and so on. Thank you.
Dr. Manu?
There is legal opinion already, which was obtained by Minister Nkwinde in the previous. So must we include the previous? Well, okay. But the fact of the matter is that there is an opinion. Unless this committee wants to another opinion, but there is an opinion, and I think on the day Minister referred to that opinion, she said something like, based on the legal opinion, there has to be discussion. So I think our recommendation here, and a lot of things, the difficulty with some of the recommendations is that perhaps some of the things should not really be recommendations. This committee must just put a program on how to deal with. But in this case, because it involves the Auditor General, we put in it here, but it doesn't stop this committee from inviting the Minister, the ITB Auditor General, and say, come with that legal opinion, let's have a frank discussion about that.
Honorable members, I saw on our agendas the indication that we received copies of ITB Act, the high-level panel report that we requested, and it was indicated also that we will have our meeting on the 23rd year, the legacy report, remember we 24th, so that this matter is there, and I think the copies that we received today will add on to what we needed Now, it means on that day, if you can also source us that legal opinion, because Honorable Chete was saying, if it is not there, then let's seek one. Now, it will be proper that as members we get it, so that when we discuss in conjunction with all these other documents, we move from an informed kind of whatever. We're noting here that the issues about Auditor General and everything. So here are the issues, Honorable Members. The legal opinion is there that we haven't seen.
Can I just add on the point around the point with Honorable spoke about, which says maybe you'll be missing it. Can we then link it with this overall assessment of the Ingonyama Trust Board and perhaps recommend that? Because we haven't looked at it, reviewed it, and they must then look at the possibilities. What do you do with this anomaly of there being a trust in one province and in other provinces they are not?
Nope, just quickly, Chair. I'm not sure why is this Ingonyama Trust treated with a... it's treated very nicely, this Ingonyama Trust. If there's an entity that is established and is not compliant, it is inexistent, but not in terms of the law that established that entity. I think there are processes that must be followed in terms of dealing with anything that is not right in an entity. But with Ingonyama Trust, we are treating it with kids' gloves, we're moving there. There's legislation that is there that says if they're not, even the entity is not compliant, this is what must be done. But why is it not done with Ingonyama Trust? Why should there be facilitated meeting where they must, as if we're going to beg them to say, but this is what must be done. If it is not doing what it should be, what it is supposed to be doing, why can't, because the Act is clear in terms of what are the corrective steps or measures that must be put in place. What can we put there? What can we withdraw the funding so that they can get to lessons? Because we can give people money and they are not actually doing what they should be doing. And they are taking money and spend the money that we give them administering other things of them that they don't want to disclose to us. So we must not treat them with kids like that.
Honorable Kata, as the last person on this matter.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to suggest that we take the route that is proposed by Dr.
Manage. We have one meeting, Honorable Members. I just think it is sorry, Kain Kamu. Please let's afford this last speaker, Chair.
I was saying, Chair, I suggest that we take the route that is suggested, that is proposed by Dr. Manage, so that we deal with this issue extensively in the manner it deserves, so that if it was formed with kid gloves, that's why maybe it is treated with kid gloves, because that time will be what time to talk about it.
Thanks.
Just a quick one, it's fine. The process can be followed as it is proposed, but we are setting a very wrong precedent. That when the law says this is what must be done, if things are not happening, we then circumvent and take another route. We don't want to implement the law. The law must be implemented. There are many legislations in this country that deals with the conduct currently from that we are seeing from Ingonyama Trust. And it must be implemented. But it's fine. If you're saying the law must not be implemented, you must go to do something else differently, it's okay.
Honorable Members, Honorable Chate, I said Japa was the last, then Montori, please don't get provoked. I have indicated here that we're having information that has been circulated. We're requesting the legal opinion. This matter addresses the issues raised by AG and how department must deal with it. We're still going to have chance of us going through the legacy report and what is now before us and saying, how are we taking this process of Ingonyama Trust forward? You remember even the judge that presented said, it is in your hands, you are the legislators, you are the developers of this legislation that we are implementing as a trust. So we still have an opportunity to deal with it. This one is talking to issues at hand that the department must address. You as legislators, you will consider and bring your own view on this matter. Can we then agree that the committee recommends that within the 3 months after adoption of this report by National Assembly, the Minister must submit a report on the responses to this report and progress reporting the implementation of the above recommendations. Do I see a mover for adoption of this report with the corrections and additions that we have made as a committee? Honorable Chetu?
Chair, I move the adoption with the amendments and additions.
Any seconder? Honorable Kappa?
I think, Chair, I second the move to adopt this report with the amendments.
This report, ke vote ma, 29 is duly adopted. Is there anything, committee member, may I say?
Chairperson, I'm really very sorry in noting the time, but we forgot a very strategic thing in the agriculture report. It's climate change and disaster.
Yeah. Sure.
It's not in our recommendation, Chair. And according to the Disaster Management Act, each department is actually supposed to have a budget of a certain amount included in their budgets. In the past, we've been dealing with disasters, droughts, and other things, and the department never budgeted for it. They actually don't really have a plan on how to deal with it. So I'm really, really sorry to take us back to that, but I just think it would be a big mistake on our behalf if we don't include this. Can I make a proposal that we include a paragraph like we are going to include something on the food security for us to be agreed to?
There is a suggestion for that is very key for all departments must mainstream. I read about it on the overview report that we had, the rise in the diseases and the climate change constraints and everything, but what the honorable member is saying is like we don't have a plan how are we monitoring TINA, what we want the department to do in that regard.
Thank you, Chair. If members are agreeable to the addition of climate change as part of the recommendation, on page 10 of the report, we've just highlighted a few policies and programs for the committee's oversight activities. The department has a climate change adaptation and mitigation plan for the sector and also a climate smart agriculture strategic framework. Maybe then if the committee agrees, the recommendation can be around briefings on those, the implementation of the plan and the framework.
Thanks. That suffices for sure. I agree with honorable members. All right.
Thanks, Chair, and possibly the budget as well, if there is a budget.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was just checking, is there any announcement, Secretariat, on any other issues? Finally, announcement. I have been requested and been approached by members checking if we are debating this as one budget vote or as separate on different times or whatever. Any clarity in that regard on the debate?
Thank you, Chuck. We're waiting for the program and committee for Thursday because for now it's not clear. I spoke to Andrew Banger from programming in the speaker's office. She said, there will only be able to confirm on Thursday after the programming committee. But other thing that we request, we circulated forms to members to submit their personal details, and we have given out the letters for passports to members. If they want to go to Home Affairs, they should contact me so that I can make appointment for them to avoid long queues there. Thank you.
Honorable Stinden, Honorable Smith.
Chairperson, I don't want to contradict our secretary, but my information is that it's going to be one budget debate on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. So the times allocated for the joint the debates, there's also other departments that's going to have joint one debate on it. So that is my information, but we can wait for the. Yes, I received the program we printed on, so I can share that, but we can just check.
It will be nice to share that information because we're going backward forward on that one. Honourable Vieta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just maybe clarity from the Secretariat in terms of these letters. I received an SMS that says Home Affairs is here in all the assembly. So I assume then we can do our parcel to the letter. Thank you.
Honourable members, this meeting then stands adjourned. And thanks for being a good audience and allowing me to chair this session. Thank you.
Yeah.